It's certainly multiple. I mean, a ton of different looks with different people playing in different spots than you're used to. You recognize the number. You just don't recognize the position that those guys are in. So pretty good mix and match of all that personnel.
Brad, Mark Daniels from WTAQ Radio.
Hey, Mark.
How you doing?
Good.
You know, beyond the obvious with that throw, just can you give us a sense of some of the things, maybe some of the little things that Brad has done since taking charge that has helped that team?
Well, you know, the best thing he's done is come in and been a good teammate and build up that equity. You know, he had the experience equity, but nobody cares about respecting you until you come in and earn it. And you earn it in a lot of different ways on the football field, what kind of person you are in the locker room. And, you know, I think that's the biggest thing is that as he walked through the door, he knew that he had to learn his teammates. And, of course, that goes both ways. They had to learn him. And it's just been a good process there. A lot of great interaction with those guys.
Hey, Brad, Tom Ellis, State Journal. How you doing?
It's good.
Hey, I know you didn't coach Brett in the 90s and when he was in his prime, but you had a pretty good seat to watch him being from Wisconsin. How is he physically compared to what he was 5, 10, 15, 20, 100 years ago?
Well, you know, obviously, if I didn't run around as much like a chicken with his head cut off, which most quarterbacks have done over the course of time, you know, if you have the skills and ability and the feet to be able to escape and run around, that's what younger guys usually do. And that's not to say that he can't slide in the pocket and he can't move and get outside. He can still do those things. I just don't see him doing it as much. But, you know, I don't see anything wrong with his strength, and obviously he's a better anticipatory thrower. And, he understands all the concepts better. He knows where all the bones are buried. He knows where the backside number four is in this system.
Chili, it's Jason Wilde. You mentioned the importance of Favre coming into the locker room. You know, he dressed in a separate locker room here in Green Bay. There was the stuff in New York. How important did you think that was in terms of how he was going to fit into the locker room, and how did you go about kind of addressing with him the importance of that?
Well, you know, he doesn't live in a vacuum, and I'm quite sure he probably knows what was said, what was written. You saying that, Jason, about that locker room there, that's the first time I'd ever heard about that. But, you know, we had Tony Richardson here and was a teammate of his at the Jets. And talked about him being a very, very good teammate. And Tony was one of our captains here. So we don't have another locker room here for him to dress in. I mean, he dresses where with everybody else. So it's nor would he have been put in another locker room. He's locker's right back by Adrian and, you know, takes part in everything that goes on in that locker room.
Mike Clemens from Sirius NFL Radio. In the fashion that you won the game last Sunday night, and then this game against Green Bay, you know, your rival, could you imagine a better scenario to build your case as to why you brought in Favre for the final piece of your puzzle and how important Monday night's game is?
Well, I'd probably stop you right there and just tell you, you know, that success is never final. And a couple of years ago, everybody wanted to make the final piece of the puzzle Jared Allen because they needed to rush. We needed to rush the passer better, and Bernard Berrien because we needed to up the field threat. So, you know, he's a piece of the puzzle. I don't know about that final piece of the puzzle. We're looking to get better. I look at the wire every day, and we're always trying to go to war with the best 53 guys we can find, and then on Sunday with the best 45. So he's a piece to the puzzle, and I go back and look at all the guys that are contributing on this football team, all the work that they're putting in, and the great thing is you know, you look at explosive plays last week, there's six different guys, six different explosives. There's all kinds of guys, whether it's the kickers that are kicking the football or the coverage teams. You know, I'm not going to put it around one guy as the final piece.
Hey, Brad, Rob Domofsky from the Green Bay Press-Gazette. With all that's gone on between these two franchises, the handshake thing last year, the tampering charges, what's your relationship like with Mike and the staff here?
Well, you know what? You don't get a chance to really interact with those guys aside from maybe seeing them at the combine. I had a good conversation with Mike. We sat close to each other. He and his wife, my wife didn't go, but out to the owners' meetings this year. I think there was the owners' meetings where he had to fly home because his daughter had an accident. But you know what? It's cordial. It's, you know, but it's not something where we speak every week. I don't speak to anybody every week in this deal.
Hey, Brad, it's Chris Jenkins at AP again. Is there any sort of concern about Brett letting his emotions getting the best of him for this game and trying to prove something to his former organization? It seems like the best thing he's done is play within the system, and do you expect that same thing on Monday?
Well, that's, you know what, that's my experience with those things, and I always go out of my way about talking to guys that have, you know, previous history with the team, whether it be we picked him up in free agency and we're going back to Chicago for a Bernard Berrien or a Jared Allen, talking to him about playing Kansas City or, for that matter, practicing against Kansas City. You know, we always talk about those things. Our guys going home, not getting out of body, and you do yourself the best service staying within the system. That's what it's there for. You're going to get called on to make those off-schedule plays from time to time, but there's a reason that system's there.
Hey, Brad, Greg Bedard from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Brett's taken a fair share of shots so far this season. Are you worried that he might not be able to last the year at this rate?
No, I'm not worried about it. Does a great job of taking care of himself, taking care of his body. I don't know that that was a concern last year or a couple of years ago in Green Bay when he played in the NFC Championship. I think we put the arm things behind us. And, you know, you're going to get hit some there as a quarterback. That's a given. But obviously he's had tremendous staying power. And while it's not always easy, he's always answered the bell.
Have you had to adjust your protections for him?
No, not appreciably. We haven't had to adjust them. I mean, they're the same things that he knows that go with this system. Do we have some different nuances and tweaks? Yeah, we do, but we have those every week for each opponent that we play.
Brad, Mark Daniels again. Have you kind of just shied away from taking deep shots? Average attempt is down, and you know he's had good completion percentages for .150, that kind of thing. Is it just easing into the entire package, including the downfield routes with him?
You know what? There's been some shots taken down the field, but you know they're long foul balls till they get completed and in bounds. You know, typically you're looking high to low in this system. People are doing a decent job of legislating against it. I mean, I don't know, a secondary coach doesn't talk about don't give up the big one, don't get beat deep. So, you know, it's pretty early on in this thing, and I'm sure that'll continue to evolve as well.
So it's Jason Wilde again. Obviously, we're spending a lot of time focusing on your quarterback, but it would seem to me that either your really good running back or the matchup of your three Pro Bowlers on the defensive line against the Packers' offensive line could be pretty big in this game, too. How much do you think it comes down to those two factors?
You know what, Jason, I always believe it all starts up front. The fight starts up front. And typically those guys, you know, they can't ever duck. They're getting in the nose on both sides every play. And it's somewhere where somebody's able to have their way or exert their will further on somebody than somebody else. And it might just be for a play or two, or it might be throughout the game. So, hey, it's going to start in front on both sides. And that's a lot of times a big deciding factor.
What did you see San Francisco do against Adrian last week?
You know, I just thought they played great team defense. You know, they flew the football. They took away some of his some of him being able to get started, and they did a better job in the front, aside from a couple of cutback runs he had. So, I mean, hats off to them. They did a nice job along the line.
Brad, Tom Oates again. What has the addition of Harvin done for both your offense and your team, a home run threat like him?
Well, Tom, same thing as talking about Brett. You know, he's a nice tool to add to your toolbox. There's no such thing as too many good players, and he has a unique skill set. I know he's drafted as a wide receiver, but a guy like Urban Meyer, when he can say, hey, he may have been my best running back last year, that's a mouthful. And, you know, for to be able to hand it to him, for him to be able to return the ball, play wide receiver, there's different ways he's going to get different touches. And so he's not just your split out wide guy that somebody may double cover and let you swing him out of the game. So I think that's, you know, another nice piece to the puzzle.
How does, Tom Oates again, how does your offensive puzzle look with all those additions, you know, on top of Adrian Peterson?
Well, you know, I know that at least the media guys here, you know, say, geez, you got this guy, you got that guy, you got that guy, you got that guy. They want to try to make it out as an embarrassment of riches. And remember, there's only one ball at the end of the day that is on the field, and at the end of every play, you know, God willing, one of our guys has it. So it's just nice to be able to know that there's different people on the field as opposed to just an individual.
Right, Chris Jenkins at AP again. What do you see out of Aaron Rodgers so far in year two, and how's he a little bit different from last year? How's he kind of evolved?
Playing with a lot of confidence. He's moving around, throwing the ball on the move very well. He obviously has the ability to run up the field and make you hurt on defense. I mean, that's sometimes a key statistic is quarterback runs for first downs. Those are demoralizing things for a defense that's got everybody covered. But, you know, very good athleticism, I just see him continue to grow and grow in that system. There's not any indecisiveness that I'm able to tell.
Brad, Tom Oates again. Has the media circus begun, and how do you propose to handle that?
Well, you know what? They're not putting the big top over the place or anything like that. I haven't been to a press conference yet. I haven't been in the locker room yet. I know this place isn't vibrating, so we're just trying to take care of what we can take care of. If they start leading elephants in here and I see elephants coming in out the window, I'll, you know, then I might have something to worry about.
Brad, it's Jason Wilde again. The Favre thing just adds to what's a pretty good rivalry, though. I mean, these games have been so close over the last several years. This is kind of what it's all about when it comes to rivalries, isn't it?
You know, NFC North football, they all are good rivalries, and, you know, this one just happens to have a river that runs between it. There's a lot of closet and then not-so-closet Green Bay fans up here in the Twin Cities. You know, it was a little bit like when I was at Utah, the Utah Brigham Young thing, you know. People say they're one way, and then all of a sudden you see the home field at Utah with a bunch of blue shirts up there. So it's a good good border war, if you will. You know, and not to be outdone by the Badgers coming to play for the Paul Bunyan Axe this weekend in Minneapolis.
Brad, Greg Bedard again. Are you worried that this is setting up to be a boom or bust season for you with the addition of Favre, your contract situation? I mean, the last guy that acquired Favre, he ended up getting fired after the season. Are you concerned that something like that might happen if you don't go far into the playoffs?
You know, obviously, if I was concerned, I wouldn't have done it, but I'm more focused on what's the best thing for this football team. That's the thing that I have to put my head on the pillow every night with. And I've been concerned every year of the 33 I've been in coaching, whether I was a graduate assistant or assistant coach or a coordinator, just believing that I need to do the best job I needed to do in that next year. Because the only thing about this job is the certainty of uncertainty. And that's from day to day when you walk in the door, every day. So, no, I don't have any worries about that.
Well, do you think the pressure is squarely on you guys this season?
You know what, I think there's pressure on everybody, but there's never any more pressure than we put on ourselves. You know, that's there's the kind you feel and the kind you apply, and hopefully we're able to apply it.
Brad Barcagels again. What led you to make that one last phone call to Brad?
You know, you can't get hit if you don't swing the bat. Had a chance to slow down after training camp and looked at the team for a couple, 2.5 weeks and broke camp, played a preseason game and got a chance to sit down and look at where we're at as a football team and probably take one more swing.
So you didn't think you could win with Sage or Tavares at that point?
You know what? The past is prologue. I'd rather talk about going forward. This is going forward business.
Brad, Tom Silverstein with the Journal Sentinel Milwaukee. Every coach who's had Favre has had to accept his bad with his good or good with his bad. To what degree do you sort of abide by his philosophy on the shots that he takes? He's obviously an aggressive quarterback. Have you had a guy like that, and to what degree does that mesh with your philosophy?
You know what, you don't want a guy that's last week he was a caretaker, not hearing that much this week. You don't want a guy that's a conservative guy. You want a guy that plays within the parameters of your system. Is there some inherent risk in some of the things that you do? Absolutely. But I'd rather have somebody that has ice water in his veins and competes like crazy than somebody that's like, oh, yeah, I got that throw, but let me go ahead and check it and dunk it down here. So I can assure you that that mentality, his mentality, hasn't changed.